local talk jock Howie Carr. He'll just be another lost voice.
Would you look at this as an end of an era in Boston?
He has no place to go, and talk is just too dumb. I mean, it's too tedious and repetitive.
And this is just, you know, one more indication of how outrageous he can be.
Here they are ripping me now, and I'm still here. I'm still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio.
And I'm still here.
It's Howie Carr.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the final hour of the Howie Carr Show for this week. I'm Taylor Cormier, one of the producers here at the Howie Carr Radio Network. Thanks for being with us on this December 26th. Always a weird time, Matt, when we're in between holidays, and especially if that holiday finds itself to fall on a Thursday. Then it's like Friday is the twilight zone after that, because some people go to work. Like, we're here at work, and some people have the day off. And it's, I feel like there needs to be a more national policy about this. I think we all need to come to an understanding. And this is no shade on anybody. I'm just saying we all need to be in sync. We're either all working or we're not working. I just think there needs to be some synchronization to that.
I agree with you.
Well, I think that's what President Trump was trying to do. At the beginning of the week, he declared that Christmas Eve and the day after Christmas this year, which is today, are federal holidays for 2025. So all federal workers got those days off, paid. Which is nice. It's fine. But, I mean, if he's going to do that, I think he should, you know, try to encourage other people, if he's going to do that.
Yeah.
If he's going to say, hey, only Christmas is the holiday and there are no other days this week, then that should be the national policy too. I'm trying to be a visionary here and help him in 2026. These are the problems that people want solved. That and daylight savings. So let's figure this out, Mr. President. Let's work this out. Let's all come to some sort of an agreement, because if you're trying to go anywhere today and maybe return some gifts, or maybe you have a weekend holiday party with the side of the family that you weren't able to get together with yesterday or Christmas Eve, you're Googling every single store that you plan on visiting to see if they're open today, because it's up in the air. Nobody knows. That's my little rant. We just need to come to an agreement between everybody. It's either the day off or it isn't. And that's how it should be. Toby had a poll question about that Wednesday, and he took the other way on that. He said, if I'm working, the federal government should too. I'm a little softer approach than that. I'm very glad to be here today. And I think there just needs to be some uniformity. That's all I'm saying. I don't like to be left on the guessing games. All right, let's get to the chump line.
The only thing missing from the Where's Waldo Biden family Christmas photo was Brandon wearing his red MAGA hat.
Yeah, they took a family Christmas photo, and you could barely see Joe Biden in it. In fact, if he were wearing the hat collar, you wouldn't have been able to see Joe at all. You would have just seen the hat. And by the way, you might just buy another hat for Hunter, who earlier this week just completely ripped apart his father's administration, saying that, you know, he was wrong about Afghanistan. You know, there were a lot of other things that he didn't agree with that his father did. He did buy the 71 or 81 million vote nonsense the same week that Georgia is coming out and saying we had 315,000 illegal votes that were counted. So maybe some reconsideration is due to that, Hunter.
I hold in my hand the last envelope.
Ho, ho, ho. Describe the three women Bill Clinton spent his Christmas with.
An easy shot. He's probably in hiding somewhere. These Epstein files that have been coming out, I can't say they're really exonerating for Trump, but they don't show anything that would make you think, at least in photographs, that he was hanging out with underage women, despite what the Democrats try to do by blurring or completely blackening out the faces of the women that he happens to be surrounded by, which are of age supermodels. To which I say, Trump's a straight G. Like, that's what you want out of a billionaire playboy. I don't want a billionaire playboy that's hanging out with underage girls. But supermodels of age, perfectly fine. Again, I elected the guy president, not Lord and Savior, okay? His personal, sordid life, he's got his own problems, had his own problems. Hopefully he's much more on the straight and narrow now, but they're not showing anything crazy in those files about Trump. Clinton, that's another story. Today's Chump Line is brought to you by the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Launcher. For those who want a powerful self-defense option without resorting to deadly force, visit Byrna.com/Howie to save 10%. BYRNA.com/Howie.
After Brown University's performance, they have been removed from the Ivy League and placed in the Bush League.
Very good, Chump Line caller. Yeah, that one's going to take a while to sort out. I guess the chief is on leave right now. I just want to know why that campus had such a lax attitude toward security. I mean, they had a police department there. They had third-party security vendors there. And you had people that saw something and said something when they saw this Portuguese national going in and out indiscriminately on the campus. It was clear that he was much older than anybody else there. On the weekend, he wasn't a professor, he wasn't a student. And somebody reported it to one of these third-party vendors, and they said, well, basically, that's not our problem. Take it up with somebody who cares. And then two people get killed, tragically. Three people, if you include the MIT professor in Brookline.
Michelle Wu and Maura Healey work at nothing all day and do it exceedingly well.
I saw a post just a few minutes ago. You know, people have these ugly sweater Christmas parties, and you know, it's a takeoff on your grandmother knitted a sweater, and it looks horrible, but you gotta wear it out of respect for her. Well, they now make, and have been for several years, on purpose ugly Christmas sweaters. The one I saw, it had the words, "This is the ugliest Christmas sweater you'll ever see." And it was just a picture of Maura Healey and Michelle Wu. And that guy probably won whatever party he was going to.
As I close my eyes and I envision all of the great history of Boston from the birth of our country to the present moment, the only thing I can think of in this moment is thank you so much, Boston Somali community.
Yeah, let's get that cut. I know Grace had it in the hopper there. I think it's on the cut sheet today. This is Boston Mayor Michelle Wu. And, you know, after this snowballing of Somali fraud that is ongoing and continuously being uncovered now, there's an amateur journalist in Minnesota right now, and he's been going today from daycare to Somali-run daycare. And you know how many kids he's run across in these daycares, Matt, this week?
Oh, 75.
Precisely zero. No children in these. Now, this week, obviously, is Christmas week. But, you know, parents, they still need daycare during Christmas week. They don't get the whole week off. So it begs the question, where are the kids? They're getting these millions of dollars in grants. And one of them, I think they were receiving $2.6 million annually. No kids. So after that, you know, and all of the other fraud that's going on at the hands of Somalis, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu felt the need to say something, and here she is.
You cannot talk about any achievement that the city of Boston has had in safety, jobs, and economic development, in education, without talking about the Somali community.
All right, let's just stop it. You don't need to hear the rest of it, because that's the most absurd thing just about that Mayor Michelle Wu has ever said. Name one. She didn't name one. Bizarre thing to say. I bet you I can't. I've had, you know what? Every conversation in my life up until this week has omitted the Somali community. And I've made it just fine up to this point, up to 35 years tomorrow. And this is the only time I've ever had a conversation where I've felt the need to mention the Somali community. Go ahead.
The DEI crowd has carried the American ideal to its logical extreme. Not only do they not discriminate on the basis of race, color, or creed, but also on the grounds of ability.
Keep going.
First, he was in the basement with nowhere to go. Now the family photo is hiding Sleepy Joe. When you did see plugs, they had him on drugs. But the debate put an end to the whole bleep show.
I told this to Grace earlier. And do you remember the picture when Joe and Jill Biden, they visited Jimmy and Rosalind Carter? And they looked like giants. Compared to, it's one of the more hilarious photos you'll see. Well, now Joe is becoming Jimmy Carter in that picture. They're putting him further and further in the background. You remember the Easter picture that they took where he was in his suit and he's supposedly behind everybody on the porch, but you saw a picture from a few days ago, and he's wearing that exact same suit and tie. The lighting is the same. People think they photoshopped him in, which they probably did. This one, they just stuck him in the back. He's almost doing the Homer Simpson meme, where they've got the Christmas tree behind him, and he's slowly blending away. He's fading. They're going to throw away the tree, and he's going to be in it. Poor Joe. Go ahead.
Merry Christmas, ISIS. Compliments of Donald Trump.
That was, I mean, I'm not one for symbolism. I can't stand symbolism, especially when it's done on purpose. I love irony when it's not done on purpose and it's just happenstance. Yesterday was great symbolism with Trump conducting these strikes in Nigeria against ISIS, which has been targeting Christians in Nigeria, beheading them by the dozens. I mean, they're taking out entire villages. And for that to happen on Christmas Day, the seat of the Christian faith, it was just so rich. And again, I'm not one for symbolism, but that was very well executed, Mr. President. And thank you on behalf of Christendom.
Loving. Say what you will about Frank Sinatra's music, but it is timeless. It sucks as much now as it did back then. Ha ha!
I've got no comeback for that except to say Christmas Eve, the last song I listened to is my favorite Christmas song sung by my favorite singer, and that was Frank, and it was Silent Night, and it's a mid-90s recording. His voice is not in good form, but I think that lends a lot more character to the song and gives it the tonality that it so rightly deserves. It's very emotional. But Mr. Carey can't see that.
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
I mean, what is he like? Some stupid James Taylor song? Does he... James Taylor must have a Christmas song. I know that he does, but I can't...
Don't you dare make us look this up.
I am going to look it up right now because I know he has one. No, does he not have like a song to himself? Like Christmas on Martha's Vineyard, nothing like that. that's what he sings about. I guess he doesn't. I'm looking at the Christmas. He did a studio album in 2006, but it features no outstanding originals that jump out at me. Oh, well. That was the Chump Line brought to you by the Burnout Less Lethal Pistol Launcher. For those who want a powerful self-defense option without resorting to deadly force, visit Byrna.com/Howie to save 10%. BYRNA.com/Howie.
I hold in my hand the last envelope.
Ho, ho, ho. Describe the three women Bill Clinton spent his Christmas with.
We'll be back. We've got to take a break here. We'll be back, and Police Blotter Facts Friday is on the way, 844-500-4242. I'm Taylor Cormier, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Follow Howie on TikTok.
We're looking at TikTok.
At Howie Carr Radio Network.
The name is hot. The brand is hot.
Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by Colette Chores. Discover Scotland with Colette and Toby Leary of Cape Gunworks this September. Sorry. Colette handles all the details, flights, meals, hotels, and local experiences. Your only job is to have the time of your life. To join Toby, call Colette at 800-581-8942 or go to HowieCarshow.com. Click the banner to learn more. They've got all kinds of information on there, kind of an itinerary, what you're going to be doing on the trip, and it looks like a lot of fun. So, Matt, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
What do you hope President Trump prioritizes in 2026? Mass deportations, the economy, world peace, midterm elections, or other?
Midterm elections.
Midterm elections has 44%. Mass deportations has 31%. The economy has 22%. And other and world peace both have 2% or lower.
See, focusing on the midterms causes you to focus on all of the others and do the best job that you can. So I think that's kind of the cover all there. Last night, we, after all the festivities wound down, we all sat on the couch and we watched It's a Wonderful Life. It's a great, great Christmas movie. But my mother-in-law, God bless her, she thinks that George Bailey, the main character played by Jimmy Stewart, was such a...
Wimp?
Not a wimp. She said he was mean. Throughout the entire movie. And she said, no wonder nobody likes him and nobody wants to do anything for him because he's mean. And he's you with your stupid plastics and your soybeans and you're a scurvy. He's like cursing people out without cursing. And I can see it, but the guy just can't catch a break. That's the whole movie. He cannot catch a break. Nobody is able to do anything to help him. He's always helping everybody else. And he just can never catch a break. But I think I agree with Ben Shapiro, who says Mr. Potter is the hero of It's a Wonderful Life. A little bit. I'll try to explain very briefly after the break. Stay tuned. Police Blotter Facts Friday coming up.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. So very briefly, Ben Shapiro made this argument last year and got completely torn apart by Twitter for making this argument. But he argues that Henry Potter, played by Lionel Barrymore in It's a Wonderful Life, was actually the hero of It's a Wonderful Life. And he argues that George Bailey was more of a socialist, and this movie was kind of socialist propaganda, because he was doling out loans and mortgages based on how he felt. You know, if somebody came to him, they were on hard times, and you know, they were having a tough time paying rent in Mr. Potter's slums. He would give them a mortgage. He would lend them the money to buy a house. And essentially, that's a subprime mortgage. He was selling subprime mortgages, which caused the complete financial collapse in 2008. And Mr. Potter was not doing that. He was sticking by the books. If you had good credit, if you had the means, you had proof of income, he would give you that. You know, it might have been at a higher interest rate, but he didn't do anything illegal in the film. He was a by-the-books guy. He did it. Yes, he was there to make a profit. He was a wealthy businessman who took advantage of not people, but situations. And, you know, Ben Shapiro kind of got excoriated for that. I mean, that is all if you discount the fact that he completely robbed the Uncle Billy there of the $8,000 toward the end of the movie. But that was Uncle Billy's fault. He left it in the newspaper because he was trying to give the...
blame the victim.
Trying to give Mr. Potter the old raspberry about Harry Bailey getting the Congressional Medal of Honor. But if you discount that, Mr. Potter was keeping Bedford Falls afloat and above financial reproach, so... That's a quick little take on it. Without further ado, it is time for Police Blotter Facts Friday.
Why do you still read the newspaper?
I like to keep up on local news, like the police blotter.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action.
A fax! A fax is coming through! Oh, yeah, a fax!
Here's the kind of adventure you've been waiting to hear. Hard-boiled action and mystery.
So stand by for trouble and suspense.
Stand by for adventure.
And Police Blotter Facts Friday, of course, we do it every Friday at this time. And you can send us your funny police stories, funny crime stories, or funny animal stories that come across your desk or your laptop, whatever it is, your tablet, involving LEOs or public nuisances. You can send them to policeblotter@howiecarshow.com. That's policeblotter, two T's. @howiecarshow.com. And at this time, we read the funniest messages, in our opinion, the funniest stories, and the two winners will get a prize this week. They will get a copy of You Understand American by Howie Carr. Now, these are the runners-up. They do not win a prize. Partly nude Somerville woman arrested on kidnapping and other charges. This is not Somerville, Mass. It is in Dorchester County, South Carolina. A woman is facing a trio of charges for allegedly coming to a neighborhood park largely naked from the waist down and grabbing children. Strange behavior. Laura Elizabeth Warwick, 36, of Somerville, is charged with two counts of kidnapping, two counts of indecent exposure, and one count of third-degree assault and battery, according to jail records. This comes after an incident Saturday when around 6 p.m. deputies for the Dorchester County Sheriff's Office responded to the Haven Oaks Apartments for a reported civil disturbance. During the investigation, deputies say they learned Warwick had arrived to the playground with their pants completely down and started to harass children playing. Over the course of this, Warwick is accused of grabbing a child by the hair and holding another against their will, stopping them from freeing themselves. Now, you might be wondering, was alcohol involved in this situation? Well, doesn't appear to be. They don't give any reason for her behavior, but she was booked and is being held on a $40,000 bond at the L.C. Knight Detention Center. It's just bizarre behavior.
So, wait a minute. I'm confused because I thought you said at the beginning of the story she wasn't wearing a top, but...
No, she wasn't wearing pants.
She was
naked from the waist down.
Yeah, winning the Pooh, everybody.
she did Winnie.
She pooed everybody.
She did Winnie the Pooh, everybody. You're right. But she wasn't giving out honey or anything like that. She was pulling children's hair. Odd. Florida dad stole 400 pounds of avocados to get cash for kids' Christmas presents. 1-877-AVOCADOS for kids. Not as catchy. An unemployed dad was caught selling, caught stealing a mammoth 400 pounds of avocados. Harry Chapin wrote about 30,000 pounds of bananas. This is the follow-up, 400 pounds of avocados.
I may be getting ahead of ourselves. What kind of vehicle did he have to get all those avocados?
Well, I think we'll get there. Edel Perez. I've never seen that name before. Edel, E-D-E-L, Edel Perez, allegedly snuck through a hole through a fence around a farm in the rural Redland area of Miami and plucked hundreds of avocados that he stuffed in bags and loaded in the trunk of his Mercedes-Benz.
There's no way. Is it SUV, Mercedes-Benz?
I don't know if it was an SUV, but he needed these avocados.
Also, he's plucking that much. Like, you would think somebody would see him. That's got to take a while.
Mr. Edel Perez was just illegally picking the avocados that white Americans couldn't be bothered to pick illegally and putting them in the back of his Mercedes-Benz and then telling the cops that he needed the avocados for his kids so he could sell them and buy Christmas presents. Well, sell the avocados, not the children.
Mercedes-Benz payments are pretty pricey, so...
Who's to know if he had this car paid off or maybe it was not his to begin with. The accused thief was found by a deputy patrolling the area who spotted the car parked on the shoulder in front of the grove around 2:30 in the morning. You know, I've always said, if you're driving past an avocado farm at 2:30 in the morning and you see a Mercedes-Benz, see something, say something. You know what I'm saying? The deputy reported he saw the 29-year-old dressed in all black clothing and picking avocados from trees and filling black bags, I guess, with the pricey fruits. He had about 400 pounds of avocados in total. He told police that he knew he was taking something that did not belong to him. However, he has no employment and two kids and was planning to sell the avocados on the street to buy his children Christmas presents. He was charged with third-degree grand theft and trespassing on an agricultural site. He was booked at the Turner Guilford Knight Correctional Center, where he's being held on a $5,000 bond. Isn't that where... L.C. Knight Detention Center is where Miss Warwick was found. And this guy was at the Turner Guilford Knight Correctional Center. So maybe they'll write to each other. Exchange avocados for pants program. I don't know if they have those at the Knight Detention Centers. New Hampshire man steals own vehicle from Killingly impound after DUI arrest. A now 37-year-old Beau, New Hampshire man was arrested on an active warrant after he stole his vehicle from the Knox towing lot less than 2 hours after being released on a $2,500 non-surety bond for DUI charges. Now, this happened June 28, 2025. The troopers found an unoccupied vehicle in the middle of Bailey Road in Killingly, New Hampshire. Then 36-year-old Beau, New Hampshire man, was located sitting on Bailey Road. He refused medical attention and also refused to take a blood alcohol concentration test and acting in administrative per se, which initiates the automatic license suspension 24 hours for Class D drivers over 21 for any driver who refuses to submit to a BAC test. His vehicle, a red 2024 Nissan Sentra, was towed by Knox Towing to be held until the towing and storage fees were paid. He was released on a $2,500 non-surety bond. According to an arrest warrant obtained by Quiet Corner Alerts, that's the outlet reporting this, at approximately 9:36 a.m. on June 28, 2025, so later that day, troopers were dispatched to Knox Towing for reports that an employee had arrived at work to find their gate heavily damaged. Security camera footage revealed an individual matching the build and clothing the New Hampshire man had been wearing less than 2 hours earlier, entering the property, accessing his vehicle, a red 2024 Nissan Sentra, and driving the vehicle through a chain-link fence gate. His license was still held by the police and was in a suspended status. Nearly 6 months later, this past week, the warrant was executed. The man was taken into custody on December 16th. He was released on a $15,000 cash surety bond. 339 says, Taylor, that's a bad take by Ben, disappointed in him. No greed is not good and destroys competition by destroying wealth distribution. All right, well, Nick, if, you're just handing out mortgages all willy-nilly in Bedford Falls and people fall behind. As George Bailey said earlier in the film, half the town was thrown out of work when one of the local factories shut down. So, I mean, I'm sure he was pretty worried that people wouldn't be able to pay their loans on time. And if you've got a half the town that's not able, and mostly single-income households back then, you know, you could be bankrupting Bedford Falls. So I think for every George Bailey, you do need a Henry Potter, Henry F. Potter. 774, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My kids need presents. I'll get avocados through the fence. Take on a Janis Joplin song. Naked man causes chaos inside Florida Hobby Lobby. Around 7:45 p.m. on Monday, Panama City police got a call about a naked man at the Hobby Lobby on 23rd Street. Several customers doing some last-minute Christmas shopping were inside the store when an unidentified man ran in. Witness told the news that the man took off his clothes outside of a nearby dental office and ran into the Hobby Lobby. Shoppers and employees said they didn't know what to do. The man allegedly started getting physical with employees and even grabbed a customer, leaving her shaken up. Once officers got inside the store, they tased the man and later rolled him out on a stretcher. Bystander said it was clear the man was mentally unwell, but the experience left them shaken up. I was checking out in the line over here at the Hobby Lobby, said one customer, and I turned around and there was a butt-naked guy coming at us. They're trying to get the customers to check out. I was like, I just wanted to leave. I don't need my gifts anymore. I'm good. I'll get them at Walmart.
Buck-naked.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's not even wearing his socks.
603 says, there's no Killingly, New Hampshire. This took place in Killingly, Connecticut. My bad. Listen, I'm...
For shame.
This is Police Blotter Facts Friday, kind of solo. So there's nobody in the second chair. Matt's in the third chair helping me out. And we'll get to one more before the break here. Man counts to five before shooting ex-girlfriend's father to death while demanding victim's keys after dispute about dog that pooped in the house. This may have been a question for Dr. Matt.
I'm going to give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no-good keister off my property before...
Sylvester Grice Jordan, Grice hyphen Jordan, 32, stands accused of second-degree murder and using a weapon while committing a felony in the death of Yasmini Rodriguez Fernandez. According to a probable cause arrest affidavit, Miami Gardens police responded to shortly after 7 p.m. Thursday. When they arrived, cops saw Grice hyphen Jordan allegedly holding a rifle. Officers ordered for him to drop the weapon, which he did. Cops then found Fernandez dead on the porch, suffering from several gunshot wounds. Good Lord. Inside the home were the victim's wife, stepdaughter, and 8-month-old baby, who were unharmed. Fernandez's stepdaughter told police she was in a relationship with Grice-Jordan, and the two had lived in the home where the alleged murder occurred since April. But after several issues with the defendant, the victim's wife asked him to leave, which he did on December 15th. Grice-Jordan left his dog behind, and his ex-girlfriend's family asked that he come pick up the dog after he pooped and peed in the home. This sparked an argument, and he said he would go to retrieve the dog, the affidavit said. Once the suspect showed up, he came inside the home briefly and had an altercation with the victim. Both men were armed at the time, but neither were holding their guns. Grice-Jordan went outside, and Fernandez put the gun on the table and followed him to the porch where they argued, the affidavit stated. The wife, stepdaughter, and baby were inside when they heard a gunshot. Fernandez yelled that he was shot and told them to call 911. Surveillance video captured the suspect asking why Fernandez had a gun and then demanding the victim's keys. The defendant then told the victim he had 5 seconds and started the countdown from 5 to 1 as he was still holding the rifle at the victim's head as he laid on the ground shot. Grice Jordan allegedly fired several more shots. Absolutely awful, but I guarantee you that neither of these men were lawful firearms owners.
No, probably not. But more importantly, Taylor, do you know what the dog's name was?
The dog's name was Fifi.
Oof. That's a bad dog name.
You mean Woof. We'll be back. This is Police Blotter Facts Friday on the Howie Carr Show.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
All right, we're going to get to our winners here on Police Blotter Facts Friday. $400,000 shipment of live lobsters hijacked on way to Costco and possible ring of thieves. They were headed for Costco locations in Illinois and Minnesota. They were hijacked before arriving. Dylan Rexing, CEO of Indiana-based logistics business Rexing Company, said the shipment was picked up in Taunton, Massachusetts, but never reached its destination. Rexing told the outlet that the heist appeared to be part of an organized ring of cargo thieves targeting high-value products. The FBI is investigating the lobster shipment theft. No arrests have been announced. Earlier this year, Homeland Security Investigations launched Operation Boiling Point with the goal of tackling organized retail crime. In its announcement of the operation, HSI stated that estimates show cargo theft accounts for $15 to $35 billion in annual losses. They don't have anything else on this story as far as where the truck was hijacked or how. So we just don't know yet. $400,000 of Massachusetts lobsters gone. And our final winner tonight, Santa pulled over for speeding in Ohio. Santa almost landed on his own naughty list, but no coal was issued. An older couple, obviously Santa and Mrs. Claus, were pulled over for speeding in Ohio while traveling to visit their daughter Claus. Naturally,
yeah.
As the clauses, you know, the sleigh needs its maintenance after its big night. The reindeer are tired, so they drive. A deputy with the Fulton County Sheriff's Office approached the vehicle and immediately became starstruck. Let's hear what he said when he came up to the car there.
Santa!
CCW, I'm not going to move until you say it, Jim.
Santa has a CCW?
Yes, sir, you have to.
Times are rough.
You got to protect me.
So let it be known, Santa Claus is packing. He's got a CCW, a concealed carry weapon permit. The deputy asked the bearded driver, Santa, for his driver's license and explained that he pulled him over for speeding. Santa got out of the vehicle, noting that he was pretty old. Do you have that one?
Santa's 100-something years old, you know.
Oh, my gosh. This is a video of the night.
You know what's funny? I just left Murphy.
There goes my presence.
We just left Murphy.
He got off with a warning, of course. He can't give Santa a ticket on Christmas. This is the Howie Carr Show. Have a great weekend, everybody.